Well, happy December, United. How you doing? Good. Sounds like you're scared of going shopping. So that's going to interpret that response as being scared. Has anybody finished Christmas shopping yet? Nope. And everybody's like, nope, not me. So anybody started Christmas shopping? All right, a handful of Christmas shoppers out there. Good. Well, we're doing this thing called Christmas for Owings Mills this season, and we want to throw the biggest Christmas party we can as a little church here in Owings Mills for the community. And so you're seeing some things about that. And one of the things we're going to be doing in a couple weeks is showing Elf at the AMC Movie Theater. And so it got me thinking about movies and favorite Christmas movies. There's actually a list of 50 different popular Christmas movies put together, and I want to get us started by thinking a little bit together about some of these movies by thinking what's the synonym of the movie title and see if we can figure out the actual title of this movie. And so, for example, we have a first slide here, Stupendous Existence. So what is this, the synonym for what famous movie? A Wonderful Life. All right, good, you guys got it. A Wonderful Life. Give yourself a hand, you got it? All right, now you know what you're doing. All right, so this next one is a synonym for what movie? Arctic Iron Horse.
Polar Express.
Polar Express, there you go, you got it. So the Polar Express, and then we got Tactics Regarding Yuletide Swipe by Virtuous Antagonist. That's a mouthful. I don't even know if I said that right. Anybody want to take a guess? How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You got it, good. Cool, our next one would be A Seasonal Ditty. Anybody? Somebody whispered it over here. Christmas Carol. All right, awesome. Christmas Carol. How about Vivacious Bulbous Cephaloids of Chilled Precipitate? What are those synonyms for? Anybody want to take a guess? White Christmas, you're in the ballpark. Frosty, yeah, Frosty the Snowman. So that was a lot of adjectives for Frosty the Snowman. How about Boulevard 3-score 4 Claims Unexplained Phenomenon? Miracle on 34th Street, good. You're getting the hang of this finally for the last one. Jovial North Dweller. The Santa Claus, yeah. So the Santa Claus, the movie. So now out of all the 50 movies that are the most popular movies in a recent poll, it came down to three that were the top three. And they're A Christmas Story, A Wonderful Life, and Christmas Vacation. Is this on anybody's list here as their favorite movie? So a handful of people, all right. Well, for me, one of my favorite movies is Home Alone. So has anybody ever seen Home Alone before? Yeah, some people are getting excited about Home Alone. I'm not sure why it made the top three, but it didn't. Now, who here has seen Home Alone? Raise your hand if you've seen Home Alone. Keep your hand raised if you've seen it twice. How about 5 times? How about 10 times? How about 20, 30, or more? Yeah, you know what? I think my brother in 1 year watched it like 30 times, like almost every day leading up to Christmas. It was his favorite Christmas movie, Home Alone. If you haven't seen the movie, it's about an 8-year-old boy named Kevin McAllister who gets left home alone. Now you're like, well, that's not a big deal if you haven't seen the movie before. It is, because his family went overseas, like to another country. And so the writer is late John Hughes, and he's a good writer because he makes it believable that a family would actually be able to leave their 8-year-old son in another country to go to a faraway country. And so if you've seen Home Alone, the reason I ask how many people have seen it that many times is because when you watch a movie for like the second or third or fourth time, you start to see things you didn't notice the first time, right? And you're like, and you see things that are in a new light, and like, oh, I missed that the first time, and it makes the movie even more enjoyable. When you start watching like 5, 10, 20 times, you kind of like start skipping scenes. You just take for granted the things, and like if you watch Home Alone, you just skip the whole first half of the movie, and you get to the fun part where the robbers come. And that's where Kevin has a lot of fun with the guys that are trying to rob his house. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I feel like the same thing can happen with us with The Christmas Story. You see, The Christmas Story, and I'm not talking about the movie The Christmas Story, but The Christmas Story as we read it in the Bible, with the different cast of characters that are there, we're familiar with it. You know, if you've been going to church for your whole life and you're getting near retirement, it's like 50 to 60 years under your belt of hearing the same story every December that it comes around. Even if you're new to church and you really haven't been in church before and you're just opening up the Bible and starting to get to learn the story of Jesus Christ, you've seen and heard something about the baby Jesus being born. You've probably even seen a picture just like this where it has the cast of characters in the Christmas story. You've seen this image in different places, whether it's on the internet or even out and about in people's front yards or bumper stickers and so forth. And this is the cast of characters in the Christmas story. But what we're doing in this series called Wake Up the Wonder is we want to look at this story from a different perspective, from the perspective of the characters and what they're going through. Because we've heard the story over and over, we've just become accustomed and to the story and not really familiar or too familiar with it, where we just skip over things that God had designed intentionally to be incredibly helpful for us. Because the story is very practical. It's not just inspiring, but it's really helpful for us to get a new perspective of how God wants us to connect with him. And when you think about the Christmas story, it's a story about how is God saving the world? And his answer is to send Jesus. But why in the world would he send this person? Baby Jesus, a screaming baby. You know, you think about screaming baby Jesus in the humble beginnings. It's probably not the way we would have written the story. And then not only that, why would he be born in a neighborhood that today might look something like this? You know, it was a bad part of town that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to travel to give birth to her son, Jesus. And not only that, when they got there, they couldn't find a room. And so they had to go somewhere where Jesus' crib looked something like this in modern times. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, people would call up social services and be like, get over here. The parents are putting the baby in an animal trough. They would. And this is the circumstances that God writes the story of Christmas. And the reason I say God writing the story is because we're going to think about how God writes our story. Because we would not have written the story of Christmas this way. God's going to save the world through a Savior named Jesus. It wouldn't have been in these ways. And the reason I know that is because that's not the way we would write our story. We want to write a better story. We always have a daydream ending of our story. And there's ridiculous plot twists in this story where there's a scandalous pregnancy, where it's like almost like a Jerry Springer episode. Anybody's ever watched Jerry Springer? Probably don't want to admit that in church, but... You know, there's a scandalous pregnancy, and there's a fiance who's ready to break off the engagement because, you know, his fiance is pregnant, but it's not his child. And, you know, just like, and then they have to travel like a halfway across the world in order to give birth to this baby because of a census that's taken and so forth. And the story is just crazy, and it's not the way we would write the script of God saving the world. And it's because we wouldn't write our script for our life that way either. And yet God has written a script for your life and he's written a script for Mary's life that I think intersect with one another. And that's what we're going to look at. Because the way we would want our life to look is good. It's always a happy ending, right? And I know that because I think about when I grew up and just growing up and having dreams for my life and just daydreaming about life and what life could be like. I didn't actually play basketball, but I was inspired by a man that played basketball. You might know him. See if you can take a guess of who this guy is. Anybody know him? Not LeBron. Yeah, Michael Jordan. He's better than LeBron. And so Michael Jordan, you know, I liked playing basketball, but I didn't play in organized teams. I would just go outside in my front yard after watching Michael Jordan play. I'd throw the ball up on my roof. And so as the ball would come down off the roof, it would be like an inbounds pass. And I'd get the inbounds pass, imagining there's like 4 seconds left on the shot clock. And I'd take a shot. And if it went in, I'd celebrate. Like I'm the hero. I made the shot and we win the championship just like Michael Jordan does for the Chicago Bulls. But if I missed, I like got fouled. You know, like I'm not gonna like end the game like walking inside like I lost. I just lost the last shot. No, because it's always a happy ending. And if I missed the free throws, even I'll be like, well, somebody stepped across the line and committed another violation. And I would just have so many shots until eventually I won the championship. You know, because we always write a happy ending for our lives. You know, maybe you go on that college tour and they give the tour guys, like give them the statistic, oh, this university is an amazing university. Like 90% of our students graduate and they go on to get a successful career. And you're always like, oh, awesome. I'm going to go to that school because you're not going to be, and I'm not going to be part of the 10%, right? We never think that about our story and the script we're going to write for our life. And then you go through premarital counseling. Maybe it's time for you to get married. And you start hearing different statistics about some of the challenges that couples face. And then 50% of couples end up divorced. But you know, that's not going to be my story. I'm not going to be part of that 50%. I'm going to be part of the 50% that you know has beautiful children. And my beautiful children, they have beautiful children. And we go to the beach and we dress up in white. And we get this nice, beautiful picture taken of our family. You know a picture I'm talking about? At the front of only a few families' homes on their mantle. There's like 20 beautiful people in white on the beach. And that's the script for all of our lives, right? Like, that's the family that we're going to have, for crying out loud. Because that's the story that we write. It's always has a happy ending. There's nothing ever wrong. And if ever any wrong comes up, there's an amazing solution that's miraculous that takes care of it all. See, the way Jesus and God writes our story and even the Christmas story, there's a bunch of different plot twists that's really interesting. And maybe you're even here and you're like, you know what, the script for my life is not like that at all. When I look at how my life is going, it's not according to script. You know, by now I thought I was supposed to be married, or I was supposed to be financially independent, or in college, or a parent or a grandparent, have a decent job, or be able to retire by now. You know, what's the script that you imagined for your life? But yet there's been confusing plot twists that have come. And the same is true when we enter into the Christmas story. And perhaps the reason God wrote the Christmas story the way he did is that we can relate to some of the most important characters of redemptive history in the Bible. See, God knew what would happen then. He knew what would happen today with you and with me. And the Christmas story is written so that we can look into the drama, the uncertainty, and the fear and confusion that's happening in the Christmas story. Because it's not a silent night. Not everything is calm and not everything is bright. It's far from that. And we're going to look at the character Mary, which you've already heard an amazing song sung about her and about the birth that she would give to a man named Jesus Christ who would change the world. And I believe that as we look at Mary's story this morning, there is a gem for us that can bring peace in a moment of uncertainty and a chaotic world that you might face. It can bring hope if you feel hopeless and lost, and it can bring joy if you feel sad and depressed. And the Christmas story can allow you to see life with a new perspective, and that God can be trusted, and that God is for you. And so let's read the story together. It's on page 428 if you grab the Bible on your way in, and you're going to find yourself in the book of the Bible called Luke. And it's at the very beginning of Luke, because Luke is a story about Jesus, and so it starts with his birth, and so it's in the first chapter of Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll have it on the screen for you to read along together. But this is how the story goes. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Do not be afraid, Mary." So we're introduced, maybe for the 50th time or for the first time, to this teenage girl who's engaged to be married. She's the good girl in town. She stayed out of trouble. She was a great daughter. A lot of the men had their eye on her, but this man named Joseph was the winner at the end of the day to be able to be the one that was going to be married to Mary. But verse 29, the plot twist comes. An angel shows up. Now, that's a plot twist for anybody. An angel showing up. I mean, it's like a sci-fi movie actually happening to you. It's science nonfiction when an angel appears. And oftentimes when characters in the Bible have an angel appear, one of the first things the angel will say is, "Do not be afraid." That's right. So you've probably heard this story and other stories like it before, because that would be scary, that happening to you. Not only that, it says that she was confused and disturbed, which is one of the biggest understatements in the Bible. That she was confused and disturbed by this. And because the angel even greeted her a certain way. Imagine as you came in this morning to United and to worship Jesus together, I said, "Greetings, favored one." "Hey, favored one, it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming back." That's just weird, right? Like, we don't greet each other that way. They didn't really greet each other that way then too. And so Mary knows something's up. Obviously, an angel's visiting her, calling her favored one. And what's up is there's going to be a birth announcement. It's one of the most epic birth announcements in all history. But we're part of a generation where there's some of the most creative birth announcements, right? Has anybody here ever made a creative birth announcement with the coming of their child or seen a creative birth announcement? So if you haven't, I have a couple for you to check out. So here's one birth announcement. So this is a very creative one with safety pins. Aw, cute, everybody oohs and ahs. How about this next one? This is then the big sister. So it says eviction notice. So, because she's getting out of her crib, and so that's the birth announcement you posted on social media. Or this little guy, you know, he's a superhero looking for a sidekick. So that's cute and clever. I like this one. It's one of my favorite ones. So we're expecting. So you see the woman who's getting morning sickness, and then it says twins, and you see him now on the toilet. And then we have this last one here, ice, ice, baby. You know, I lied. There's one more. This is the best one coming up. So the birth announcement, they have three kids, and then the sign says, not again. All right, and the kids are screaming. You know what? There are many clever ways to announce the birth of a child, but the announcement that we see here in this story is without a doubt one of the most epic. Not just an angel coming, calling Mary a favored woman, but saying these words where the story goes on. It says, do not be afraid, Mary. And the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. He says it again. I don't really feel favored right now. But you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. So here is the birth announcement. And a lot of moms in this world, when they hear that they're going to have a son, you know, they just want to have a son that's going, the greatest birth announcement they could have is he's going to grow up, get a job, pay his bills, and move out of the house, right? This baby is going to be like, he's going to have a kingdom that will never end and will go on forever and ever. Talk about, you know, having a son with hopes and dreams attached to it. This is going to be the king forever who's going to be worshiped. But here's where the plot twist comes in, is because if you don't know too much about Mary, I said she's a good girl, a chaste girl, a pure girl, not yet married. And she kind of asks this question, like, how is this possible? I'm a virgin. She knows the birds and the bees. If you don't know the birds and bees, go home and ask mom and dad. Hopefully you're not 40 still figuring that out. But she's an unmarried, young, abstinent girl who doesn't feel favored, even though, hey, highly favored one, or you have good news coming. This isn't good news. This is rocking her world news. Because not only is this already crazy enough, but the culture in the day and age that she lived in, what could happen for somebody who is pregnant out of wedlock is they get stoned and killed. And so she's scared to death. This is not good news for her. She's scared and confused, and she has a plot twist in her life. I don't know that we've ever faced a plot twist like this in our life. Maybe you have. Maybe has something happened very dramatic or traumatic. Maybe you've just had things that haven't gone according to plan. I mean, I know for me, at the age of 16, I knew I just wanted to be a pastor. And so I can go back that far in my life and be like, that's when I really had a sense, like, this is what I want to do. I want to help people have a relationship with God and be in church ministry. And the script I would have written for myself wouldn't have been what happened, where I needed to quit a job that had state benefits and not get paid for a year so that I can learn how to be a pastor. And I had a wife and a child, and then a second come on the way, and we didn't have benefits. I'm like, well, this is a little unsettling. Yeah, so this is not really comforting. This is hard. This is challenging. And so when I think about the script for my life, that's not nearly as traumatic or crazy as Mary, but it created some angst. It created some questions. It created some frustration and confusion, some challenges to my marriage. And then when we did finally get a job offer, because there was no job promise at the beginning of this journey, I don't know if you've ever had like a list of states that you want to live in, like here's number one and here's number 50, and you list them off. Like maybe we don't do that literally, but maybe in our head we kind of know where those states fall. Well, this was like state number 50 for me. It's called the armpit of America. Anybody know what state that is? New Jersey. Yeah, don't say Maryland. I'm so sorry, Stevenson students from New Jersey. So, but it was like this is the last place in the world we wanted to live. And yet, it was the script God was writing for us. And it was what God was doing. And so let's go back to the story of Jesus being born, though, and see what happens with his story. Because it says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she's now conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. And that last phrase there, the word of God will never fail. Sometimes we feel like the script is failing or our life is not going according to plan. But this phrase is so helpful for us this morning. But the word of God never fails. Even when circumstances don't go our way, God's word succeeds and takes effect and takes root in our life. When times are confusing and we think that circumstances aren't succeeding, the Bible does. Because as much as we really didn't enjoy New Jersey and some of the challenges that that part of our journey took us on, as we faced a budget that was not balanced at all, we had more expenses than we had income. As we lived in a place we didn't want to be, as there was challenges that came as a married couple, moving up there with two young children, not knowing a single person. But we found that the word of God, when God says in the Bible, I will never leave you or forsake you, like we were surrounded with some great friends. We moved in two different neighborhoods and we had great friends that were not Christ followers and some great friends that were Christ followers. And then not only that, that as we continue to be committed to give and be generous people, because we believe that's what the Bible teaches, it teaches that if you give, you'll receive. Like, we never missed a bill. And somehow our savings account ticked up just a little bit. Not a lot, but God provided for our needs because the word of God never fails when we take him at his word. And my guess is you're trying to be faithful in life too. That's probably part of why you're here. I want to learn about God. I want to connect with God. I want to grow in my relationship with him. But maybe you find yourself in a situation that perplexes you, challenges you, maybe even it angers you. And what I want to do is point you to what Mary does next in this story, because this is the gem of the story. This is where we can look to God's word and look together to see what's the answer when we meet crazy situation in life, whether it's as crazy as Mary or not, and the plot twist comes. How does she respond is the way that we should respond too. And this is what she says. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. See, how do you respond to uncertainty and fear or challenging circumstances in life? Do you respond by running away? You know, fear means run, flee. Or do you respond by leaning in? Mary responds by leaning into God in faith, not running in fear. And the best possible advice I can give you this morning, if you find yourself in somewhat of a plot twist or in circumstances that are challenging to you, discomforting to you, scary to you, incredibly disappointing to you, is to embrace these words from Mary, that I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. That expression, just take it according to your word, or take him at it according to his word. What does that mean? It just means believing what is said. And so Mary believes what's said about her from this angel, but also from God in the midst of her confusing plot twist. And not just in this part of her life. The entire 33 years is crazy, being the mother of Jesus Christ. And the end of his life, where he's betrayed by his closest friends, he's killed on a cross and raised from the dead in 3 days. I mean, talk about an up and down roller coaster ride of life that Mary had. And yet her perspective was, I am your servant. It may be done according to your word. So let's be honest. Are we like Mary in this way? Are we saying, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be according to your word. Because Mary embraced who she was in God's sight, and it made all the difference for her. Are we embracing who we are in God's sight? And is it making the difference in our life? And this is what I mean by embracing what is true about us in God's sight. There's a lot of things that the Bible says about who we are when we follow Jesus Christ and we have a personal relationship with God. It makes statements that if we believe them and embrace them are incredibly freeing for us as we live life. And so one statement would be, I'm a child of God. So that means that by a heavenly, powerful Father, that we're taken care of by him, that he protects us, he loves us, that another statement is, I am God's workmanship. And so maybe you feel like I'm quirky, or my personality is a little different, or my strengths and weaknesses are not what I want them to be. I wish I was more like this and less like this. And just God says, you're just the way I made you. You're my workmanship. and you're great because I've made you that way. I'm totally and completely forgiven. And all of your sin is completely removed, and you are loved because of the payment of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins. Or I'm Jesus' friend, and that can sound kind of corny, like I'm a friend of Jesus, but the reality is sometimes in life we feel alone, like nobody's in our corner or for us. And Jesus is. He's in your corner, and he's with you. Or how about this phrase, I'm a whole new person with a whole new life. You know, maybe there's ghosts of not just Christmas past, but of your past that haunt you. Dreams that you might still have because of them. Or thoughts and just, I can't believe I'm still that person. I haven't changed. And what the Bible says about you is totally different. It says, no, you're a whole new person with a new life because of Jesus. Or how about I'm created in God's likeness? Maybe you feel just a little bit different or a little bit odd. You're the misfit. I don't really feel like I fit. Well, you're like God, and you're created in his likeness. And because of all these things, you are greatly loved. See, when you don't understand what God is doing in your life, remember what he's spoken to you. See, these are words that really can have power when we embrace them. See, here's the thing. Whose opinion of yourself are you listening to, though? Do you really believe any of these things? Any of those statements that I've just kind of blasted through? If you follow Jesus, do you believe they're true about your life? Or do you believe other bits and pieces of information or things that you've heard? Maybe you say them about yourself. I didn't get into a certain school, so I'm not smart. Or I didn't get a certain job, so I'm no good. Or I still haven't gotten over this habit or addiction in my life, and so I'm just never going to be different. Or maybe it's things that people have said about you, that you're just never going to make it. You're never going to be successful there. Or I can't recommend you, whatever the phrase would be. See, the Beatles were told that they had no future as a band. Walt Disney was told he had no imagination. But they didn't follow those headlines. And I'm sure in the midst of trying to make music or trying to make memories, that both of those guys and groups of guys, you know, they never woke up like, hey, we got it today. They probably had their insecurity. They probably had their questions. They probably never woke up feeling, I'm ready to go. You know, I don't know that I've ever felt ready to go in life. When it was time to go away to college, when it was time to get married, when it was time to get a mortgage on a house, when it was time to have children, when it was time to start a church, when it was time this morning and the lights went up and the video was done, I didn't feel ready to preach. And that's every Sunday. I love to instill confidence in you all every week that you come. But we don't feel ready in life. We don't feel qualified in life, right? And that's a good thing, because Mary didn't. Walt Disney didn't. The Beatles didn't. I don't. And you know what? Not only this, there's an example. In 2009, there's this basketball player who played ball for college. He wanted to be in professional basketball. So he wanted to be in the NBA, and there's pre-drafting, scouting reports, all these things that are written up, researching every guy that wants to play professional basketball. And here's the pre-scouting report on this guy, on his perceived weaknesses. There was 15 of them. I'm not going to read all of them to you. And he just says some of these things. Not a true point guard. He's out of control at times. His shot selection is questionable. His ability to defend at the next level, questionable. His versatility and lateral quickness, which must be important for basketball players, questionable. College system makes him difficult to evaluate because he played for a small school. His average athleticism, he's average in wingspan, he's average in size. Not only is he average, he actually has a frail frame, and he relies too heavily on his outside shot. Now, if you were reading this scouting report, would you be a guy saying, or a gal, I'm going to hire him? Probably not. Would you say, hey, let me spend thousands or millions of dollars to hire him? Definitely not. Because of all these questionable areas, of all these things that are just average, creates lots of doubt. But the reality is Steph Curry is doing a pretty good job in the NBA. You know, the scouting report didn't define him, and the scouting report that you say about yourself or others might say about you doesn't define you. The word of God that will never fail is what defines us. But are we living that way? Are we walking in that freedom? Because when you don't understand what God is doing, remember what God has spoken. What he has spoken will take you so much further than evaluating life based on your circumstances. Because if we look at Mary's life and base it on her circumstances, oh boy, there's trouble there. And yet, in that circumstance, there was the greatest blessing that humanity could have ever seen come to this world. See, you are not unwanted. God sent his son for you. You know, when you don't understand what God is doing because you don't feel like you're a changing person, you're still the same old person with the same old problems, remember what God has spoken, that you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. When you don't understand why you feel alone, you need to remember that you're an adopted child of God. When you don't understand why you continue to feel guilt and shame for sin, you need to remember who you are in Jesus Christ, that there's no condemnation for your sin, that your sin is washed clean and it's removed as far as the east is west from you. See, when we remember these words to live by and say, just like Mary, may it be done according to your word, we can face this life and all that it has for us. And this is just a short list of statements that God has said over you and me. And so when the script of our life does not go according to our plan or the plot twist comes, who will you trust? Who will you listen to? When decision time comes, will you follow Jesus? Will you follow the crowd? Will you start writing your own version of how you want things to end? Will you lean into God? See, will you run from God in fear or will you lean into him in faith? Christmas season is a great opportunity to see the intersection of this real story with Mary and the trouble and angst that she experiences and the trouble and angst that we might experience in this life. And if we're not going through something like that right now, chances are we probably have at some point in our life or we will at some point in our life. And so we need to remember what God has spoken in those times. See, she doesn't run from her life, and we shouldn't either. And she's got a crazy plot shift. And she gives birth to this son that changes the course of human history. And what good comes out of that is amazing. What good can come out of our situation, our circumstances, could be great if we allow God to work and trust him at his word. See, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, is on our side. He has a perfect record, and his scouting report of you is more important than anybody else's scouting report of you. And right now what I want to do is, because my guess is that there are some here that are going through a moment where they need to embrace one of these phrases, or maybe it's another phrase from the Bible. And I'm just going to give a time where we can just sit quietly and reflect and think with God and say, what is it that I need to embrace right now to remember about God in order to face the week ahead or the day ahead so that we can live in freeness with Jesus Christ? And I'm just going to give a moment, and then I'm just going to pray for you. And I'm going to just close our time just praying that God would help make that clear to you and that it would make a difference in your life. So it's not just something in your head that rattles around as like, oh, okay, I'm growing in my knowledge of Jesus, but I'm also growing in how I live and follow Jesus. And it would make a difference in how you live and follow him. So let's just go ahead and take some moment to quietly reflect, and then I'll just close this up in prayer.